Paul, Constant is one courageous writer who's tried to sift through the conspiracy theories and the propaganda surrounding 9/11. His article on the 9/11 Truth Movement for The Stranger magazine was republished in the progressive national journal, The Utney Reader. During an interview at the Stranger offices on Capitol Hill, Paul talked about the history of the movement.
It started about, I think, probably about 5 months after 9/11. It just sort of, on message boards, internet message boards, it's sort of people talking about doubt about whether 9/11 happened the way that they saw it. There started to become message boards specifically devoted to 9/11 truth. In the context that I wrote about it, 9/11 truth is just... Their theory is that we weren't told the truth about 9/11. Some people believe that there were actually no planes involved on 9/11. Some people believe that the buildings were wired for with explosives. Some people believe that the Pentagon was shot with a rocket launcher and that no plane crashed, and that no plane crashed in Pennsylvania. So it's really a it's hard to pin down one specific movement online. Like We Are Change Seattle, which is the big Seattle group, they started forming, I think, probably about 2 years ago, was when they started having meetings and discussing what they were going to do to get their message out, and when they started actually protesting events and handing out DVDs with their movies and things like that. There are so many groups, and some people belong to more than one group, and some people aren't in any group. There's the primary one in Seattle is We Are Change Seattle, which I think is wearechangeseattle.org, and they're the big umbrella group. But there are also, you know, there's engineers for 9/11 Truth, and there are engineers who say that Building 7 couldn't have collapsed the way it did. There's firefighters for 9/11 Truth. When the movement started, it was called 9/11 Visibility, and I believe there are still some 9/11 Visibility groups out there, and they're kind of like the original flavor. But they're always evolving, you know, and there are fights, and you know, as with any human organization, they'll go their separate ways, and they'll each form different groups. So,
what are a few of the strengths of these groups in terms of their organizing? You said that, you know, there are political groups who could take some lessons from them.
Well, the strengths, I think, are that they're all about information. You know, these people pay for blank DVDs with their own money, and they stay awake all night reproducing these DVDs that they can hand out at you know, events like Bumbershoot and things like that. They have a list of talking points. They have, you know, signs and T-shirts, and they're doing it all with their own money. You know, and every presidential election, people talk about the grassroots movement. I think that political science students should be studying them, because I feel like there's something like this coming, and it's if it's not going to be this, it's going to be something else, and it's going to be really interesting and unlike anything anybody's ever seen before. My article that I wrote last year was all about how effective they were at forming an organization. I don't think there's ever been anything quite like 9/11 truth groups, and I think that a lot of political groups could learn a lot from them, because they you know, they don't have a leader, and they have all sorts of, you know, videos. They have hundreds of videos. There are thousands of websites, maybe tens of thousands of websites. And they can communicate, you know, with the touch of a button, and they're fast, and they're information-based. And I feel like there's something they're doing that is sort of the political group of the future.
Given that there has been this movement, that it seems to be relatively organized, and that there are plenty of websites and DVDs, documentaries available on YouTube, etc., how effective do you think the movement has been in terms of, one, getting the information to the public, also getting coverage from the media, and then third, getting any kind of political response? Has there been much headway on those fronts?
They have not gotten much media attention, honestly. They paid a lot of attention to my article because they were pleased to get attention from a media person, even an alternative media person. They feel like they're being ignored, which, you know, to a great extent, they are being ignored. They're not, they don't have, you know, Tom Brokaw isn't interviewing people about 9/11 truth. You know, Bill Maher calls them nuts. A lot of that is because they stand up and start screaming on Bill Maher's show about how he's, you know, he's part of the cover-up. So it's kind of a natural reaction. So all the media attention they've gotten is guerrilla.
Have there been any political representatives that have shown any kind of response to lobbies from the groups that are questioning 9/11 in terms of new government investigations or independent investigations, congressional investigations?
I know there are politicians who've called for new investigations, but they don't directly mention truth movements. I think, honestly, at a political level, mentioning 9/11 truth movement would be a sort of a kiss of death. I mean, even Ron Paul, you know, who truth groups sort of rallied around as a figurehead, never said anything about 9/11 truth, because that was, you know, that was too far out politically for even Ron Paul to bring up. So,
any headway with Congressman Dennis Kucinich? I've never heard him speak about this publicly.
Basically, the same as Ron Paul. When I started talking to truth groups, there were three ways they thought it was going to go in the election. They thought they could go with Kucinich, they could go with Ron Paul, or also Webster Tarpley, who's a conspiracy theorist, has written a lot of books on 9/11 truth, and he was talking for a while about running for president on a 9/11 truth ticket. That never materialized, and he's come out with a book that's accused Obama of being the head of the weathermen now in the last couple of months. No, Kucinich, I feel like he had the same relationship with them as Ron Paul. He wasn't in a position where he could turn away there, and if he believed in what they were saying, he couldn't actively say it. So I'm not sure what his official position is, because nobody has an official position on 9/11 truth.
Although there was that one comment by Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney during the investigation when she asked about the military exercises that were going on that day, and I think she was actually gaveled down, the audio that I heard. Do you have any comment to make about theories regarding this supposed military exercise that was going on that day on the East Coast?
No. I've read about the fact that there was Air Force exercises going on, and I've also heard that there were those going on at 7/7 in London, those attacks. And the thing is, I just don't know. I can't confirm what the nature of those were, and nobody can, and I'm not sure how much the one sort of conflates the other one. You know, I don't know how much the fact that the military operates under a pretty huge cover of secrecy has to do with the fact that they actually were involved with anything, and how much of that just has to do with they can be pointed at and say, you know, look, they were doing this, so they must be doing something evil.
It seems to me that some people who become interested in this issue are at first very skeptical, but a lot of times the stories about building number 7 seems to really intrigue people. Have you ever heard a good explanation for what happened to building number 7 and why it was demolished or why it was not standing?
Well, there was actually a report that was released last week about building 7. Building 7 is the way that a lot of truthers get involved in the movement. They watch, you know, YouTube clips of building 7 falling, and it wasn't, you know, it obviously wasn't the Twin Towers, so, and it wasn't struck by a plane, and so people assume that there was some sort of a demolition gone awry, that it was some part of the plan that didn't work the way that it should have. There was a report that was just released that said it was due to fire, and the truth groups were immediate and surprisingly united in their claims that, you know, no building has ever collapsed that way because of fire. No building has ever been right next to two enormous skyscrapers when they've collapsed, you know, and had fire inferno going on inside of them for 7 hours or 5 hours or however long it was when the building collapsed.
Do you know if in that report they mention how the fire started?
Yeah, it was debris from the building that fell from the towers that fell into Building 7.
And how did you become interested in this subject personally?
I kind of fell into it exactly the way that they wanted people to fall into it. I saw something that said Google 9/11 truth. I think it was a bumper sticker that somebody put on a parking meter. You know, it was totally guerrilla. And I was interested, and I started looking them up, and I was sort of fascinated at how they developed in such a short amount of time.
Despite being dismissed by the corporate media as nothing but a bunch of fringy conspiracy theorists, the 9/11 truth movement continues to ask questions, and they demand answers about the events of September 11th, 2001. This is Mark Taylor Canfield for One World Report.